Well, I was on the way to Tottenham Court Road, and quite luckily, I got lost, and I just so happened to see some malt whiskey, which always kind of captures my attention, but it's a part of something much, much bigger. Picture the warehouse at the end of Indiana Jones, where it just goes on forever, these potential treasures. I'm in the vintage house, and it's possibly the single most exciting malt and other spirits shop that I've seen. Well, I don't even think I've seen something this nice in Scotland, but I haven't explored that much. Definitely outside of Scotland. You, sir, I believe, do you own the shop?
Yes, I do.
What's your name?
My name's Malcolm.
How long has the shop been here?
Shop's been here. We know it's been here since 1945 because we've got the photographs, and we fact it's a family-owned shop, and we have shots of them serving servicemen with hooch on VE Day and VJ Day.
Fantastic. How many bottles of spirits are there in here, and wine?
A total, we do something like 6,000 different products. Which there's 1,500 different malt whiskies, 280, 290 rums, about 150 tequilas, and I've lost track of everything else.
We're standing not far away from... I didn't realise there was that many tequilas, to be honest. No, we're standing not far away from the cabinet with the tequilas in, and it's fascinating to see some of the stuff. Is there anything in here that you're particularly proud of having because it doesn't exist anywhere else, or you just think it's wonderful, it's beautiful?
It's very difficult when you've got the range as wide as we've got. My particular, I suppose, love and expertise would be malt whiskey. I mean, we have whiskies going back, 1926, but we also have Armagnacs going back to 1888.
Wow. Did the Armagnac, because the 1926 whiskey that you're talking about is priced at £30,000 a bottle. Can you tell me a little bit about that and why it's so expensive?
Yes, it was part of the McCallum Fine and Rare series. There was only, I think, 20 bottles. It might have been 24 bottles produced. Originally, if you bought it when it came out, I think the start price, which is about 10 years ago, was about £15,000.
Wow.
So it's gone up spectacularly over a few years, and there's none left now. That's the end of it.
Have you tried it?
No, the dearest I've got to was about £15,000 for a 1937 Glenfiddich.
What did you think?
Very nice, but beyond my price bracket.
As it, would you have paid that much?
Would you pay £100,000 for a Rolls Royce?
Good, very good question. I imagine it's down to the individual. Just fascinating. I just asked for, quite embarrassingly, I know you do bourbons, I felt it was almost sacrilegious to ask for a bourbon whilst being surrounded by so many splendid malts, because I've been looking for a particular bottle of Elijah Craig for a while now, the 18-year-old. You do normally stock it, but you've just sold out. Gutted.
Well, we get an allocation, so many bottles a year, so we take so many a month. So if you're in that first week of the month, with a bit of luck, we'll have some. You're in at the end of the month, we won't.
I'm certainly going to be popping back. I've heard wonderful things about this. I'm not a massive bourbon drinker. I myself prefer my malts. What would you recommend? I'm the man on the street saying, OK, I've got £30 to spend. What would you say is a must-have?
That is very much like choosing a bottle of wine. It depends on the style of whiskey you enjoy. I mean, you've got things from, say, an Ardbeg from Islay, which is tremendously peaty, very, very smoky. Unless you've tried an Islay, you certainly wouldn't recommend it to anybody. If people who do like Islays would just fall over. If you want something or the other, something nearer a bourbon, then you'd want something like a Lowland, say, Ockentoshan from a bourbon cask, which is very soft, triply distilled and very easy to drink.
Say, for instance, I'm partial to Lagavulin.
Then I would certainly suggest you could try, you can't afford a Port Ellen, unfortunately, because the distillery's been closed for 24 years, but you would try Ardbeg, I certainly think you'd like. Yeah. You'd certainly like Laphroaig. Well, hopefully it's a bit too medicinal. Cowlila is a very good whiskey if you haven't tried it. It's the biggest distillery on Islay. They produce lots of very, very good whiskey, not quite as peated as Lagavulin, but from the same stable, and it's the biggest distillery on Islay, so the whiskey tends to be more reasonably priced.
Fantastic. And what's your tipple of choice?
if I said that on the internet, I would get shot by 100 other distilleries. So,
okay, what did you drink last night?
The night before last was a bit tricky because they had the launch of the new 2008 releases. So I was rather plastered, and I had Cowley, Le Lagavulin, Talisker, Manic Moor, Benrinis, Pity Vake, and Brora.
Fantastic.
It was a nice evening. So all cask strength.
All cask strength. All cask but whiskey tasters still spit it out, don't they?
Not when it's that good, I'm afraid.
You were away on a jolly, weren't you?
Yes, it was rather a nice evening.
Fantastic. I bet the conversation was flaming as much as the spirits.
Especially at the end, yes.
Fantastic. Well, I'm now going to get lost in some of these labels. I'm just looking at some of these sample bottles. Are they straight from the cask?
No, they're not. Those are actually done at... We do have some straight from the cask, but those particular range you're looking at with the sort of very old-worldy label are reduced to 50% by volume. So they're way above normal strength.
The reason why I'm looking at them is because I like camping. I have hip flasks, but I just they never really taste the same out of a hip flask. I broke my best hip flask, which effectively was glass. Beautiful little thing. These are small bottles, which I could quite easily take away for a weekend sleeping on a beach bushcrafting when I have to have that whiskey before I go to sleep, have to have that malt. They look perfect for that, so I'm going to ask you... in a moment off the record which one you say I should walk away with from there. But how do you recommend me carrying small amounts or when I go away?
It really depends on how much you're talking about and the nature of the trip you're making. I mean, glass is always the best. It doesn't taint the whiskey. And it's obviously non-porous in terms of both liquid and air. But obviously, if you're in an environment where breakages are possible, then so long as you don't leave it in the container for long, stainless steel works very well. But you can't leave it in every length of time. You've got to actually take it out when you come back. I mean, you want maximum a week and then pour it back into a bottle. But if you're talking about a safe way of transporting it, that's probably the best.
Right. Okay, so you did not mention at all pewter there, even though pewter tends to be lead-free nowadays.
No. Stainless steel seems to be the best.
Even better than silver, which looks very expensive.
I've never had silver, excuse the expression, mm-hmm. But I would imagine there would be, especially with cask strength whiskies, I would imagine there'd be some sort of reaction with the metal itself. I wouldn't think that was a very good idea.
I'm so glad you said that, because stainless steel is so much cheaper than silver, but you're still saying a week tops.
Yeah, it doesn't. You will always get some sort of taint otherwise. Just always empty it out when you get back.
Or I could come here and regularly buy small bottles like this.
So long as you take care that they are, although they're heavy glass, yes.
Thank you very much for your time.
Pleasure.